Talk Radio.
It happens. It happens. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Ride Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, at the corner of Trash View and Ata Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses to regenerative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to get the sin of flatestatism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel it, Daryl?
I feel it. Thank you so much.
It's covered by the BIPTOT No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at BIPTOT.org.
And thank you for that, Randy. All right, so we are here. We are the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy. We're joined by James and Daryl tonight. And I think it's still going on for you, Daryl. But it was. It just recently passed. It was the good old 4th of July here yesterday, today, wherever time zone you're in, and. Oh boy, what a pain in the rear end. I don't know about you guys, but the high holy days of statism really start to grate on me sometimes, especially when the people are out in full force waving their flags and being all silly. It makes me want to stay in my house, which, you know,
that's what I did.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to avoid people as much as possible, but it's, you know, I couldn't even take my nap tonight because of the darn fireworks. Because, of course, you know, they go off during my normal nap time. And, you know, I scream out my window like the cranky old man that everybody thinks I am anyway. But nobody cares. They just keep lighting them all.
Yeah.
And what time is normal nap time?
Well, I try, if I'm going to nap before a show, I try to get to sleep before 10 o'clock. Because I know myself, if I'm even this late, like I'll force myself to sleep sometimes for a nap. But if I'm even the slightest bit tired, if I pass out after 10 o'clock, there's a very good chance I'm not waking up in time for the show. Because I've been known to sleep through alarms before. So that can happen to me. So I try to get to sleep by, you know, 9-10 o'clock at the absolute latest. And of course, you know, the firework parties and people are putting them off, you know, setting them off during the day and stuff. But the main show starts around 8:30, 9 o'clock, right in the prime time of my nap. So there's absolutely no way I'm sleeping during that.
See, that's right when, I'm trying to go to sleep around 8 o'clock. When I take a nap before the show, I try and go to sleep around 8 o'clock my time. And they were really going off today. But luckily, I was able to still catch some Z's.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can sleep through just about anything. I mean, from a very young age, my mom used to tell me that I was one of those people, you know, what's the line? Oh, you could drop a bomb next to your head and you'd sleep right through it. Because I am a very heavy sleeper once I get to sleep. But it's the getting to sleep part that I have to get there. I have to get there first. And when there's, you know, miniature little bombs going off all over my neighborhood constantly, it's really hard to get in that zone and actually try to fall asleep. So after an hour of like laying on the couch, I just gave up. I'm like, oh, this ain't happening tonight. And then I went back to screaming out my window like a cranky old man.
You just hate America.
Yeah, what is your relationship with America, Jeremy?
Oh, my relationship? Yeah, it's not a very good one, apparently. Apparently, they, you know, America seems to want too much from me, and I just wanted to leave me alone.
Is it an open relationship?
No. Unfortunately, I'd like it to, you know, I'd like it if they let it be an open relationship. They seem to think, you know, America seems to think that, you know, I belong to it and only it, and you know, if I try to stray outside of that or you know. Actually, I don't even think I could go visit another country at this point. Or actually, that's not true. I could probably go visit. I probably won't be able to get back in, though, because my passport expired years ago, and I'm pretty sure they won't give me a new one at this point because I'm on enough lists, and I've agitated enough people in the state that they're just going to go, nope, you don't get one of these. Which is ironic because, you know, when I say these things to non-government statists, they, of course, tell me to leave and go someplace like Somalia or wherever. But the irony is that the America itself won't let me go. They're like, no, you have to stay. Sorry, you're stuck here. So,
yep, no passport for you.
Yeah, so... You know, because people always tell me, oh, you should go here, you should go there. I'm like, yeah, it's great. I'd love to go visit. I don't think I can get back in. And while at some times that sounds really nice, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't have to go back. Yay. Then I remember, you know, I got the dog, I got my kids. It's like, yeah, that's probably not going to work out too well if I can't come back.
You can visit me and come back.
This is true. This is true. Although if I did go to visit you, Daryl, I probably wouldn't want to come back. It's perfect down there.
Now you got a life over there. You know, I saw those beautiful pictures of the Bip Tots. That was wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, that was exciting that I finally got them to go to the festival. I don't really have a life anymore here. I mean, I have my kids, I have my dog, but I'm in the process of trying to leave this state and start a new life somewhere else. So it's not like I'm actually trapped in a particular life here right now. I only have my business to run for another couple of months. And hopefully I will be a free man at that point, you know, depending. Well, where's the phone app, Jane, for allegedly? Because it all depends on how my court. It all depends on how my court case goes at the end
allegedly.
Of the month.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
There you go.
As long as that gets smoothed over, then yes, I'll be a free man, at least in the terms of New Yorkistan, come the end of September, which will be nice because I've spent way, way, way too many years in this horrible, horrible state. So. It'll be nice to be out of it and not have to come back. What was the other thing I was? Oh, it's, you know, back on the 4th of July tip. I just saw, you know, obviously this is, I mentioned before, this is like one of the high holy days, and you know the good old statists are out there waving their flags and stuff, and people are obviously get offended if you don't wave your flag or if you say something negative. Or if you post a video of yourself doing something kind of dirty to a flag, which
hey,
I just
watched on one of those.
Yeah, I just caught that about an hour before the show started.
I can't describe it on this show.
No. Yeah, I believe you're talking about the same one that I am then.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we're talking about that. And she's pretty attractive.
Yes. It was a young woman who I happen to have run into on social media before. I've had conversations with her. She seems rather, you know, rather pleasant. And she made a little video taking care of her own property, which was a U.S. flag, but I believe it was hers. I'm pretty sure she didn't steal it from anybody. And she chose to dispose of it in a very particular way. And just like, well, what happened to me a few months ago, I noticed very quickly that people were doxing her all over the place. And
oh.
Even so far as to, like, not only did they get her address, but they had her last known mobile phone number and her last known landline, which I thought was kind of funny because I didn't think anybody but me actually had a landline anymore. And I only have one because of my business. But, yeah, and these people, I just happened to stumble across a thread on Facebook where this was being talked about. And these people, they're all very proud of themselves for doxing this girl. And spreading her information all over the place and purposely trying to put her information in front of the, actually, I think the one line somebody actually said to me was, you know, what's the big deal if every vet in the country who has PTSD now knows where she lives? That doesn't stop her freedom in any way. You know, so they're purposely trying to put this in front of, you know, put this information in front of people who are mentally unstable. And are already have shown that they are prone to violence, and these people they're very proud of themselves for this, and it makes me so, like, it gets me angry, but it makes me like almost physically nauseous, and that happened even before this happened to me, you know, which I actually, you know, speaking about the fest that you brought up before, I actually got to commiserate with somebody at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest who had also recently had that happen to him. And he and I had some wonderful conversations about what it's like to be the most hated man in your area for a given amount of time and to have your information spread all over the internet in hopes, not just in hopes of ruining your life, but actually this is usually done in the hopes that somebody will come to your house and physically hurt you. Which, ironically, you know, these same people are the ones that call while people like me, snowflakes, which is pretty funny because they're the ones getting all sorts of butthurt about somebody doing something to their own property. So what do you guys think about that, the whole doxing thing? Has that ever happened to either of you?
I believe so. On my birthday, I don't know who doxed me or what, but I got a bunch of like random texts. Someone doxed me for my birthday. And I got a bunch of really weird texts all day long, and then it stopped after that. So it wasn't really a big deal. But I guess it was kind of because some of the stuff they were sending me was pretty weird. But...
well, that's a nice birthday present, but it only lasted a day, so yeah.
So it wasn't that bad.
What about you, Daryl? You ever have that happen to you?
Not yet. You see, like, unlike you guys, I'm just starting to put my voice and my name out there. I've been more behind the scenes. So, and I'm also just not risking it in like that kind of way on purpose, at least. You know, I kind of have a different brand that I'm trying to associate myself with, something that's basically making more bridges to people, which is not really something that people find a huge issue with. That's like, you know, the public face so far. Not that I have to do that here, but that's what I've been doing so far. Just making connections. That's basically it.
Well, that's probably a much smarter way to go about things.
Maybe.
Although, go ahead, sorry.
It depends on what you're trying to get done, you know? I mean, I think it's very courageous to take a stand. Obviously, endangering people that you really care about, that could be a potential problem. But I admire courage, and certainly I admire straightforwardness, but these people out there, they're really damaged and they're very dangerous. What are you going to do about that is always the interesting question. I don't know. It's that's what I think so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand that. And sure, if you put yourself out there and you try to be provocative in any way, then yeah, that definitely raises the risk factor. But, you know, like for somebody like me, I was kind of caught off guard by it when it happened to me, not because I didn't expect a backlash for what I did, but the fact that I had been saying similar things for years and had been very public about it, and it just never happened, so it still caught me off guard. But yeah, people are very sad, and they need to lash out. So, but we're headed to the market, so we will talk more about this when we get back.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Worms.
May cause triggering.
I think I need that playing on a loop, that may cause triggering, and just follow me around, kind of like theme music. That make my life a lot easier.
Just open up the app and hit the button every time you walk through the door.
This is true, yeah. Well, we were talking earlier about how lazy I was today. I'm trying to figure out the lazy way out of it. I wouldn't actually have to hit the button if I just had it on a loop that it could play.
They have those shirts. And they have shirts that have a speaker in them. Can set to play certain sounds. I'm pretty sure there'd be a way to have that just play on a loop on those shirts.
Perfect. I will have to look into that during the next break. I'll have to go find one of those. hopefully they sell them at Amazon, because I got some gift cards I could burn.
Worth it.
Definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. Well, I mean, because I've always, you know, I was one of those people, I always wanted to have theme music. I always thought it'd be cool if theme music followed me behind. That'd be even better, though, because that way, you know, hey, what? I warned you. Pretty much everything I say could trigger you. You were warned.
Yep. I always wanted the Imperial March to play when I walked through a doorway.
That would be a good one.
I think it does play when you walk through the doorway, James.
I wish.
actually, you're definitely the, you know, forget James Earl Jones. I want James Weeks, you know, for that, that part.
Oh, I could never do as good as James Earl Jones.
I would rather your voice do that. Like, you know, you got the plans in here somewhere, princess.
So what you're saying is I should redub redub Star Wars.
Yeah. You're just like, you know, this is just taking up lots of my time, and you know, I wanted to take a nap.
Yeah, there's a project for you, James. Get involved in that. That
sounds like a good project to get involved in that won't get me sued for copyright infringement.
No, not at all.
You have to change the name to something Wars.
I think they could be that fall under parody.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
but you never know these days.
You never know.
People are pretty sensitive about some stuff like that, unfortunately. And something tells me that Lucas would have an issue with that. I don't know why.
May result in state beatings and or incarceration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
more fine legal advice from the Fiends legal counsel right there.
Yep.
So
allegedly.
So the last segment we've finished off. We're talking about the wonderful 4th of July and the resulting fervor when you say something that doesn't conform with, you know, being rah-rah America. So, you know, I mean, I that's why I didn't go out in public today. I tried really hard not to. I went out to the store for like 5 minutes and came back because I don't want to deal with these people because they really are like people get so mad if you're not, you know, if you're not patriotic. I mean, actually, I think it's not true. I didn't interact with anybody, but I did get some stares today when I went out. And I think, I'm not positive, but I think it's because I was wearing the same anarchist shirt that showed up on that news clip of me that everybody mistakenly thought was an Antifa shirt. Because I was getting some nasty looks from a group of rather large guys sitting in a Jeep Wrangler with American flag seat covers.
But
I just quickly got in my car. I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for this today. I'm going back home.
You would like it over here because you will never see that over here. You know
what? American flag seat covers.
Yeah, I mean, now you might see the Kingdom of Hawaiian seat covers on some random car here and there. Like, okay, you know.
Well, yeah. Don't the natives, the native Hawaiians,
locals.
Yeah, the locals. Don't they look down upon the rest of the United States and they don't want to be a part of the United States? Do I have that correct?
Yeah, and to some extent, some small percentage of them also idealize the total nastiness that was going on within the Hawaiian kingdom some several hundred years ago. You know, if you happen to be the wrong person to eat a banana, you're dead. If you happen to look at one of the royalty, you're dead. If your shadow crosses them, you're dead. You know, the wrong plants out of season, you're dead. Yeah, this was all going on right here several hundred years ago. And then came, you know, various types of colonists, and then came the Dole Pineapple Company, and then came all the other things, you know. You have all types of... This is a very mixed race, mixture of people. And that means a lot of people.
Worms.
I talk too much.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Oops.
Almost too busy talking to B-Talk Radio that time.
So, 4th of July, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it's quiet around here now. I'm sure Daryl's going to be getting inundated with more and more fireworks, possibly as the show goes on, because he is quite a few time zones away from us, way down in Hawaii. And, you know, so unfortunately it's not over for you just yet, but I think it's finally passed around here. Although, I mean, there's idiots in my neighborhood that think every Saturday is a reason to set off fireworks, you know, and I don't like to be that stick-in-the-mud type of guy, but, you know, ever since I had kids, fireworks have just irritated me more and more and more, especially when people are just setting them off just because, hey, it's Saturday, let's set fireworks off at 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, you get all the dogs in the neighborhood barking and kids screaming and crying, and they don't care because they just think it's funny. And
But what do you think about... Do people have rights to do that?
Well, that's what I say. That's where it gets to be like that fuzzy area for me. Because yeah, I'm not gonna call the police on them. I don't want a law enforced of any kind necessarily. I would like some common courtesy, maybe, you know, some courtesy perhaps. But you know, there's not much I don't think I could do about it because I'm not gonna go run to the police. So as far as having a right to do it. Yeah, I mean, technically, you're not harming anybody, I guess. I don't know. You're not physically harming anybody, but when you have little kids and they're not sleeping because people are shooting off fireworks all day and night for no particular reason, it comes pretty close to physical harm as far as I'm concerned, because when they don't sleep, that means I don't sleep, and that makes me even crankier than normal. So, so that kind of harms me, but. Yeah, I don't know. Noise pollution, I don't know. Is it a rights issue, or is it just a...
It's an ownership issue.
Yeah, or is it a don't be a Richard issue, you know?
Don't be a Richard, that's great.
Yeah, that's my thing. I've for a long time, even though I make fun of the non-aggression principle these days, although I still do try to follow it for the most part, I always said that the NAP's all right, but I prefer the D-bar. I attach the D-bar principle, which is don't be a Richard. because, you know, sure, you may have a right to be a Richard, but, you know, it's... doesn't necessarily get you very far in life if you are to a lot of people. So I try not to be, unless somebody's a Richard to me first, and then I will, you know, Richard them right back.
What do you do when someone Richards you, James?
Nothing.
I was expecting that.
You just let it go, James.
I apologize. I was distracted looking for my name.
Oh, you're still looking at yourself on Facebook, right?
Looking for myself on Facebook.
Looking for yourself on Facebook. That's such a 21st century irony there.
It happens. It happens. But to update the listening audience, someone made a list of people who are bad about libertarianism, and the guy's actually terrible. And so apparently people were commenting my name to be added to the list, and yes. I'm not finding it. Actually,
I could have swore I saw it on that thread, you know, but there was a bunch of different subthreads going on. But
there's so many. The thing is that on Facebook, trying to find something. Oh, there it is.
See,
someone posted my picture.
There you go. I knew I saw it somewhere.
It said, "What changed with Jeffrey Tucker?" And it was a picture of me and Jeffrey Tucker.
Oh, that was the greatest. I think you might have discussed this last week, but that was hysterical. For those listeners who didn't hear, when we were at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest last week, James and I and a bunch of other people, and Jeffrey Tucker came there to speak. James got a picture of Jeffrey Tucker holding up his black and red, his black anarchist flag with the red anarchy symbol, yeah. which so many people just automatically go, oh, you got to be one of those anarcho-communists. And it's like, I had a hat at one point because it was the only fitted hat I could find, was one of the ones with the red. And I'm like, no, I like the way it looks, man. What the heck? It's a color. Who cares?
Yeah. People get so obsessed about it. It's like we're street gangs.
I know. It's like, we're not the Bloods and the Crips, man. Hey, you know. But yeah, so James had James got a picture with Jeffrey Tucker hanging this flag, and it got posted. Some Antifa page put it up and was like cheering it, and they were like, yeah, Comrade Tucker, we, you know, like,
oh, I missed that.
Oh yes. I'll try to find that during the next break, but yeah, some Antifa page put it up and they were like cheering it, like they had, he, Jeffrey Tucker had been won over to the, you know, the good side as far as they were concerned. So you essentially trolled a whole bunch of people without even trying. It was beautiful because it went from this Antifa page putting it up, and I didn't look close enough. It may have, because there are a bunch of these Antifa pages that are actually parody pages that are just used to troll. So it may have been one of those, but it worked perfectly because a bunch of those right-wing nut jobs and the you know, the so-called right libertarians, like the person we were talking about before, who we're not going to mention his name because we don't want to give him airtime.
Allegedly libertarians.
They jumped all over it, and that just gave them more ammunition as far as they were concerned to talk about you and Jeffrey Tucker and about how horrible they are. And that's what I think that's what led to what finally led to Tucker being put on that list by the a not mentioned person. You know, which is just, I mean, I've heard people rumble about Jeffrey Tucker before, about how he's a lefty and all this stuff. And I don't know. I've met the guy a couple times. I had him on my show. Well, I think he's a wonderful human being.
They got mad at him for saying that libertarianism is anti-fascist. When Richard Spencer showed up to a libertarian conference. For those of you that don't know, Libertarian Spencer is the founder and coiner of the term alt-right, basically a rebranding of white nationalist, ethno-nationalism. The guy's a fascist, to update the audience, we're not burying that. But Richard Spencer shows up to a libertarian conference, and Jeffrey Tucker, who's an Austrian economics guy, used to run with, you know, Murray Rothbard and all that, as a student of Murray Rothbard. And, well, you got to kind of who these people are a little bit. Yeah. So Richard Spencer shows up at this libertarian conference, and Jeffrey Tucker, and was misrepresenting himself as giving a talk at this thing, had a sign up saying he was at this, you know, he's part of this, the conference that was there. And Jeffrey Tucker didn't take too kindly to this and yelled at the guy and told him that he's not welcome there, that libertarianism is anti-fascist. And so you had a lot of right-wingers that got triggered by this, finding out for the first time that libertarianism isn't actually fascism, like for some reason they think. And so that's where I first saw Jeffrey Tucker being labeled as a, quote, leftist, because to a lot of these, you know, alt-right people, if you're not Pinochet, you're a leftist.
No, this is true.
I am looking at this list of all these allegedly wrong with libertarianism people, and then everything that's right with libertarianism people.
Yeah.
And wow, I'm just shaking my head, and I guess there's just no point in reading any of it, huh?
Well, yeah, like I could pull up the list, but I don't feel like doing it right now. But I'm trying to remember. But like, yeah, I remember looking at it and going, "What's right with libertarianism?" There were people that are definitely
Julie Borowski.
Yeah, Julie. I'm sorry, Julie Borowski. She's not a libertarian. She claims to be.
She's a Republican.
Yeah, she's a Republican. You know, it's like, and then the people, like, and then on the list, you know, people that, what's wrong with libertarianism? He even put Rand Paul on there. there. I'm like, even Rand Paul doesn't call himself a libertarian. Why are you putting him on this list?
The funniest thing about it, though, is that he said New Anarchy Ball and Old Anarchy Ball, which is a Facebook page. And they haven't changed at all. It's been the same thing. The only thing that Anarchy Ball did recently that would make new and old is that they called out a Nazi. They made a couple anti-Nazi posts, because normally the page was, making fun of like ANCOMs and stuff like that. But they made a couple of posts making fun of Nazis recently, and now all of a sudden they're terrible.
Well, I think it actually goes a little bit deeper than that, because I happen to know the people who started that page is a couple who I happen to know. I know both of them, but I think the division there started because there were quite a number of people who now fall into that alt-right, quote unquote, anarchist camp that were administrators on that page. And they were slowly kicked out eventually. And I think that's when the shift became, when all of a sudden everybody hated Anarchy Ball because they were like, well, you know, he's pushing everybody out and, you know, they're not real anarchists. And, you know, those two have been accused of being commies, too, of course, which is funny because the one guy in particular I know is one of the most dedicated ANCAPs I've ever come across. But, yeah, I think it has a lot to do with that, too, because one of those particular admins actually happened to be an admin on one of my pages for a very long time, and I finally gave him the boot a couple of weeks ago because he went after me for no reason, and because I was making fun of this individual that we're talking about but not mentioning for the same thing that you had said, that you know, you made a meme about him and that's why he blocked you.
It was a great meme.
I laughed at somebody else's meme about him, about the whole, because I think we're talking about this off the air, I'm not sure, but this individual wrote a book. Well, he didn't even really write a book. He took a bunch of other people's ideas and put them together and claimed it's his book, but he labeled it the ANCAP Bible. And when you refer to your own work as a Bible, you deserve to be ridiculed. I'm sorry.
And that's what I did.
Exactly. And I didn't even do it.
I wasn't gonna let that slide, and I memed him and ended up blocked over it. But whatever. It's fun.
Yeah. I didn't even do that. I just laughed at somebody else's meme. And this other individual who I've known for years, he's one of the first people I came across. We worked on another project together like 4 or 5 years ago, and we kind of came up as anarchists together, and known the guy for a long time. He was, you know, a pretty good friend, and he got really mad because I laughed at this, and then he immediately went into a tirade about how he couldn't believe he used to respect people like me. And I was like, buddy, I don't care about your respect, honestly. I think it's funny. And then he went, you know, ranting and raving and cursing. And I was just like, okay, you know what? I don't need you anymore. So I got rid of him. And then he went crying to my partner, Dave, my co-host, Dave, who also runs the page with me. So such snowflakes, these people. But we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Welcome back.
Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. An older boy told me to do it.
See, that's an excuse you can use.
Yes. Oh, there's plenty of excuses you can use on the Pocket Alibi app. It's a wonderful tool. James has a much better grasp of it than I do, though. He's a lot quicker on the trigger.
This is just a joke. Seriously, just a joke.
I have not played with it nearly enough. Although I keep saying I want to give it to my kids, and let them play with it, preferably at doctor's offices. I think it'd be a hoot just to let them run around and press, and just hit different buttons and see people's reactions to it. Because there's a lot of funny stuff on there. And we keep talking about updating it. I know a bunch of us have mentioned different lines that we want on there. I don't think we should probably get on that.
I've recorded a few lines and sent them over, but it hasn't been updated yet.
Okay. Well, I think he's probably waiting. Maybe he's waiting for enough of them to get sent over because
probably wants a bunch of them. There's probably gonna be a huge update with a whole bunch of new ones, and then I'll be like, oh, what do I do?
You're gonna have to relearn everything again, man. But it is a handy app and it's fun.
So. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
There's some great ones on here.
I remember reading that line because when Michael first decided he was going to put this app up, he sent all the co-hosts a list of what he wanted them to read for lines for that, and then he sent he didn't send the same list to everybody, but he sent a lot of the same ones to everybody so he could pick and choose from. Which one he thought sounded the best. And I remember reading that and, doing it like four or five different versions of it. And then listening to it when it finally came out, like that version was DJ. And I think there's another one with Nima doing it. And then I was like, oh, there's supposed to be a Russian accent to that. I so did not get that at all. I had no idea that's what it was supposed to be.
The Russians did it.
Yeah, well, that one. That one seems weird now. Why would a Russian be saying the Russians did it?
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Yes.
Oh, that's good to hear, MK.
Oh yes, another fiend in exile.
Yeah, there's so many fiends. Off the air, we were all, well, okay, off the air, I was briefly asking about some of the previous fiends that I no longer get to hear.
Yeah, well, people come and go. People, it's this job.
this job.
Not really a job, but, this gig is not for everybody. And not because people aren't capable of doing it, but, it's late hours. So for a lot of us, especially people in the Eastern time zone, it can be a bit of a hassle to have to be ready at, for a show at 1 o'clock in the morning. I think I'm one of the few on the East Coast that actually doesn't care. I kind of, right after I started with the Fiends, I think within my first 2 months, I ended up I went from doing just, one show a week or maybe one show a week until I got my feet wet. And then I think Michael was, his health took a little bit of a turn for the worse again. So he wasn't doing as many shows. So I had to pick, I was like, oh, I can pick up some shows. And then people were always either calling in sick. And I just quickly went into pretty much, I started living on Fiend time all the time. So, even on days where I wasn't doing a show, I was still up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of times for no reason, but many a nights, if I got a message at like midnight saying, "Hey, so and so can't make it, can you do it?" I was just like, "Yeah, sure, why not? I'm up." So, I learned to rearrange my schedule, which I was actually kind of impressed about because at that point I wasn't yet 40. I am now, unfortunately, but at almost 40, I was able to reverse my schedule and start living off of like pretty much no sleep again, which I know is not the best for my health. But, I really enjoyed being here. I really enjoyed doing the show. So I was doing like three or four shows. some shows, I think weeks I did all four shows. Like I said, between the hours and the stress of trying to make sure that you don't screw up, so to make Michael mad, it's not for everybody. So people come, people go, but there's always fiendiness going around because there's plenty of us.
And there's always bumper music.
This is true. So we're gonna close out the first hour here. Take a long trip to the market, and then when we come back, maybe we'll have a story or two to talk about, and we'll see you on the other side.
Worms.
Come back with a warrant.
Come back with a bear cat.
Are
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, we are back for the second hour. I am Jeremy. I'm joined tonight by James and Daryl. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Hey.
All right, so we all survived the trip to the market, and in the first hour we were poking a lot of fun at one of the high holy days, but maybe I thought maybe we'd shift gears here in the second hour, and what happened to my story just disappeared. I had a story. I mentioned there it is. So I had this one story I came across today, and I found it fascinating, to say the least. This comes from the Los Angeles Times, that bastion of freedom and stuff like that. And this is an op-ed titled, "Everyone Should Go to Jail, Say Once Every 10 Years." And this this op-ed, written by Jesse Ball, starts off,
I don't know if... Jeremy just got nuked there. Just disappeared on me.
That's true.
But
a notable demand that is made upon the citizens of the United States of America is that jury duty, although many despise, hate, and avoid it, there's a general sense that the task is necessary.
Fiend phone.
Here comes Jeremy back.
Here we come.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that. I droned myself, I think, on that one, actually. I touched the wires. Never touched the wires. My microphone is becoming very sensitive. Yes, self-droning. So, as I was trying to say, this article. Op-ed starts off, "To a nation of jailers, a notable demand that is made upon the citizens of the United States of America is that of jury duty. Although many despise, hate, and avoid it," I'll enter my own commentary here. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I love the idea of jury nullification, but unfortunately, I can't afford to take time off to go to jury duty, so I think it's ridiculous that they try to threaten you with jail time for not participating in the jury pool when you get sent these summons and stuff like that. Enough about that. I digress. Back to the article. There is a general sense that the task is necessary. We believe a society is only just if everyone shares in the appointment of guilt. To this demand of jury duty, I would like to add another. And in the same spirit, I propose that all citizens of the United States of America should serve a brief sentence of incarceration in a maximum in our maximum security penitentiaries." Notice he says "our." A little bit of mouse pocketing going on over there. "But this service, which would occur for each person once in a decade," this service, oh my God, "would help ensure that the quality of life within our prisons is sufficient for the keeping of human beings." And then he goes on with a whole bunch more drivel. So essentially what this individual is suggesting, and I did say he, I'm assuming the way Jesse was spelled, it's a man. I may be misgendering him, and honestly, I really don't care because he's writing this type of drivel in a major news publication. What he's trying to get at is the prison systems would improve if all of us were forced to spend time in jail once every decade. Because if we were forced to be in jail, then we would complain enough to make the jail system better. Not let's get rid of the jail system. Not let's find a better way. Maybe move towards a system of restitution rather than a system of retribution like we currently have. This individual would like all of us to spend time in jail to make the system better.
This sounds familiar. It reminds me of people who would say that they want all the children to be enlisted in the army, you know?
Yes.
Which is a different form of involuntary confinement, which, when does involuntary confinement happen, James? What's that situation happen? What's that called?
Slavery?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, yes. I do believe that's the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just the fact that people think like this is scary, honestly. I mean, like, I'm like stuttering here because I'm almost at a loss for words, even though I've read this and I've been thinking about it for a couple hours now. It blows my mind that people actually have this thought process, that they think the best way to go about improving things in the system is to force people to go through the system.
Like, I went through bad things, so therefore, you know, I'm okay, so other people should, I think they should go through bad things too. Is that the kind of method of logic going on here?
I don't know, because I don't think it actually mentions whether this individual has gone to prison or not.
Dishing it out but not receiving it.
Well, I'm sure that he feels that, you know, he would of course subject himself to this too, as long as everybody else is doing it. But no, I don't think there was any mention of him having gone through it before and now suggesting it. I might be willing to give the guy a little more a leeway if he had at least been through it himself. You know, because we talked a little bit about this off the air earlier. I've been in the system. I mean, I spent two separate occasions. I spent a night in jail for both times BS charges. Both times I was actually protecting my own property. Coincidentally enough, the most recent incident, which I'm still not supposed to talk about too much, I was literally trying to defend my property. And the first time, when I was much, much younger, I think I was only like 16 or 17. I think I was 16 at the time. I was trying to retrieve my property that had been taken from me against my will and was being held behind a locked door. And all I wanted was my stuff back so I could leave. And the people that were there refused to give me my stuff. So I broke down the door so I could get to my stuff. You know, and back then there were things in there that were very important to me. There was my CD collection, which included the very first two CDs I had ever purchased, one of which being the somewhat rare copy of Metallica's first album, Kill 'Em All, but the one with the extra bonus tracks, which is kind of hard to find these days, and my carton of cigarettes. Because I smoked like a chimney back then, even at a very young age. And I just wanted my stuff. But I, you know, in both of those incidents, trying to get to or protect my own property, I ended up having to spend a night in jail. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody, even though, you know, it wasn't like a horrible experience. Nothing, you know, nobody tried to hurt me or anything like that. It was just uncomfortable as all get out because, you know, you're forced to sleep. Well, you're not forced to, but if you want to get some sleep, you're on this, you know, hard wooden slab, which is not very comfortable. And that's saying a lot because I'm somebody who at, you know, back in the day when, you know, we used to do house parties and stuff like that, I was the guy who would almost always call the pool table as the place that I was sleeping for the night. You know, because if you're having a house party and everybody's, you know, a bunch of people are saying, oh, we're not going home tonight. We're staying because we don't want to drive. And the person whose house it was, well, sure, just pick a place to spot, you know, most people would jump on the couches or the spare bedroom or stuff like that. There was always a fight for those type of spaces because they're the most comfortable. So I always thought I was the smart one. I said, oh, I'll take the pool table. Nobody else ever wanted to take the pool table, but I could sleep on a pool table just fine. But those uncomfortable wooden benches they give you as beds, not a lot of fun. So I wouldn't wish that on anybody, you know. So to say that this is you know, that this suggestion is even worth considering, to me, is just insane.
The insanity is there in this suggestion, but I kind of see what the point of it is when you read the article. Because he's really wanting the conditions to improve.
No, so I get that.
His whole thing is if we subject everyone to it, then maybe conditions will improve, which I kind of see somewhat of a logic to it. It seems really messed up, and something that, you know, I wouldn't ever wish those conditions on my worst enemy. But, you know, there are people who do wish people to be in jail. There are people who love when people go to jail and think it's great when people are stuck in these inhuman conditions and treated like animals. The guy, you know, wanting everyone to be treated like an animal for a period of 3 to 90 days every 10 years, just to maybe stop people from willy nilly sending people to jail. Which is kind of, I guess, the guy's point is people will take jury duty a little bit more seriously, won't just convict on the word of the state if, you know, they know what they're sending people to.
Yeah, no, I get, like I said, I get that.
People really don't know. People really don't know what they're sending people to.
Oh no, that's true. And to your other point about the fact that there are people out there that, you know, wish people to go to jail and stuff like that. Oh, I know that all well. I know that firsthand. I got plenty of people wishing jail on me after what happened to me a couple of months ago, and plenty of people cheering when they thought I was going to jail after I was arrested. You know, most of them assumed I wasn't getting, for some, you know, talk about people not understanding the system. They thought just because I was arrested that meant I was going to jail and not coming back out anytime soon. They don't even seem to understand the process of the fact that, you know, there's an arraignment, you can get out on bail, and then you just have to show up to court case. You don't just go to jail right away. That's not how it works. So I know that those people exist, unfortunately, because they came after me. But, you know, I, like I said, I understand somewhat, I guess, the point he's trying to make, but that's what I was saying earlier. Like, that's your solution, to force everybody into it rather than saying, well, let's just point out how horrible the conditions are and try to do something to change it without sticking people in there first. I mean, sure, if everybody was forced to be in there, I'm sure plenty of more people would complain. You know,
but did this author really intend it that way as an actual suggestion, or was he actually just being sensationalist, kind of trolling the audience, essentially?
He may have just been sensationalist, trolling the audience a little bit.
Oh, that's
kind of what I thought. That's what I got from it. You know, I don't know what Jesse Ball really thinks. I think if he actually thinks like this, well, here's what gives it away. I think it's written with really good copy. It's precise. It's like a precision scalpel. It puts this, like, absurd idea out there, and certain segments of the population will actually believe it and actually think, yeah, I want to put the person in jail, you know? And that's just what I was thinking when I read this. It was written too well. I can't believe that the person who wrote this believes it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we're back. The last segment, we were talking about this op-ed piece from the LA Times about everybody going to jail to make things better. And you guys brought up, you know, an interesting point that this may have not been completely serious. I don't know. I mean, I think I took it at face value because it's from the LA Times, and I usually don't really take anything that they say, to be intellectual, or I take them to be serious with the crazy ideas they come up with, because that just seems like the type of paper they normally are. But it is an op-ed, so it is quite possible. I think it was the one line, though, that, again, this may have been a really well done troll, but the one line that it says, but it is my humble belief that our jails and prisons are already full of people like who have lives to live and stuff like that. So, you know, when he's talking about that, I took him seriously. But I've heard similar ideas to this in the past before too. and I think Daryl, you mentioned it earlier about the how it's kind of the same as, you know, the involuntary servitude of the how the draft used to be set up and forcing people to be, you know, conscription and stuff like that. These ideas. Yeah, exactly. And these ideas have been floated before. But even if this was done just to draw attention to the horrible conditions, I still think it's a horrible idea. I think, like you said, James, I think, you know, I could see some logic to it, I guess. But, you know, for somebody like me, and I think you guys would both agree, who, you know, thinks that most of the laws, well, the overwhelming majority of the laws on the books, none of them, they don't have a victim, so they're not really crimes. They're just, you know, arbitrary. You know, it's not, you're not doing anything wrong. You're just violating some arbitrary edict written by some would-be tyrant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, like, that's, you know, I guess it's just my nature to, you know, try to strike at the root. And, well, the prisons being... the conditions in prisons being horrible is not the root of the problem. The fact that the prisons exist the way they do in the first place is part of the root of the problem. You know, the horrible, ridiculous, draconian laws that put people in these places, that's more at the root of the problem. And it would seem to me that that would be the much more sensible approach, would be to try to focus your energy on, you know, if you're going to play the, you know, if you're going to play in the status minefield, then, you know, play this game and try to change the system from the inside, you know, well, it, not necessarily from the inside, but change the system in any, you know, meaningful way like that, then you should do things that are actually going to make a real difference rather than make people freak out because they think they have to go to jail for every 10 years for three to 90 days, you know,
make a real difference. And that's why we're here, to make a real difference.
Well, so you try.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather just make the monopoly systems that arbitrate and create security and logistics. I'm speaking of arbitrate, that's courts, and security, those are armed forces, and logistics, that's just coordination of all types of goods and services. Right now, that's a monopoly called government. And that's the problem. So wherever you have monopoly, you've got the lowest quality at the highest prices, right? So the only way to get rid of that, since it's so entrenched via, you know, the massive lobbyist laws that reduce, you know, entry to the businesses that are required, well, you know, it has to be gray and black market activity to some degree. Just basically pluralities, just to make it obsolete, like... Gotta turn them into Betamax tapes and Blockbuster Video. That's the only way I could see it going down. All of it, you know, including those horrible maximum security prisons. Talk about a waste. You have real people and real restitution required, and they're just languishing in a maximum security, going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that's a serious waste.
Well, yes, it is a serious waste, and it's a waste on so many levels, because, of course, the most... one of the worst things about that is, you know, people get stuck in these prisons, and even if they have actually done something wrong, like they've actually hurt someone, destroyed somebody's life, destroyed their property, whatever it is, like if there's an actual victim involved, they get stuck in this prison, but everybody else has to pay for them being there.
The ultimate insult to injury.
Yeah.
It really is. Not only... So now you got something stolen from you. Now you got to pay to keep the guy housed and fed.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the crazy part. And you never get the thing back, too.
Nope. But yeah.
We'll be back with Redemption.
Well, not
eventually.
Not yet. Jumping the gun now. Jumping the gun. We'll be back up with this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
He's gotten mad, folks. Mad, I tell you.
Bunch of fireworks in the background over here.
And there they are. Well, I did say at the beginning of the show that we'd probably hear some fireworks from you at some point, Darryl, and they finally arrived, I guess.
There they are.
Michael, when you listen to this, we have no control over this. We're trying to get good audio, but, you know, you can't do anything about fireworks with crazy people lighting them off. Any hoodle. We were talking about some interesting stuff we stumbled across during the break. And the first one James found, it's a slightly older story, but I've heard about stuff in this, other stuff like this, too. So what is this thing you found about them trying to take away my rare meat, man?
Well, it's been taken away. But apparently in North Carolina, according to their food code, which is what we're looking at here is the what act is this? This is the section under North Carolina law, section 2600, rule 2609, part E. They have medium, rare, and rare burgers are banned. You're not allowed to eat a rare burger or a medium rare burger in North Carolina. You must cook your beef and food containing ground beef to a internal temperature of 155 degrees Fahrenheit, which would make it to where you can't eat anything less cooked than medium in North Carolina.
That's insane. I mean, I've dealt, like, I know there's regulations about that in most places, but I've never seen it go so far as banning medium rare as well, because, like, I know up here in New York, most places will not, they won't give you anything rare, and even if
not
you
even
ask,
not even a steak.
Well, no, most places, no, because they claim, health code regulations. Oh. Same type of thing. I think the temperature's lower here because they allow for medium rare, although most places, you know, a good steakhouse will get it right, but a lot of the other places around here, when you ask for medium rare, you're lucky if it doesn't come back as a hockey puck. So I've run into that before, but this is a whole nother level of just nannyism and, you know, literally telling people what they can and can't eat.
But it's for the children.
Because in Michigan, I see on the menu where it just gives you a warning saying, you know, cooking under, you know, eating undercooked food could lead to illness. They just put a warning on the menu.
Well, and yeah, that's all that should be needed.
Right. I don't know. I've never ordered a burger rare, though. I don't eat rare burgers. So I guess this law doesn't affect me, but I'm still upset about it.
I mostly make my own burgers. Mostly.
I do, too. I try to, at least. And I don't really eat my burgers rare. I do eat them medium rare, but steaks I definitely do. I actually prefer them that way. I think I ran into this the most in, like, the chain restaurants and stuff like that, like the Fridays or the Applebee's or all the different stuff.
Everything's a hockey puck.
Well, yeah, because they have those warnings just like you're talking about in Michigan. They have those warnings on the menu, but then when you ask for, you know, say, because the joke I used to say is, you know, bring it to me as close to mooing as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would usually get a little smile from the waitress or something and be like, oh, you know, we can only bring it down to medium rare, you know, bring it as far as medium rare. And there's been times in the past where I've had a couple of drinks in me ahead of time and I'm just like, really? I'll pay extra money. You can't just throw it on the grill and take it off again. I'm not gonna tell. And people are worried about losing their jobs. But that's why the first time I actually stumbled across a place that was willing to cook my steak exactly the way I wanted it to, I was like floored because I'm so not used to that up here. Mm-hmm. I think it was Boulder Creek, one of those steakhouses, you know, again, one of the chain type places, but you know, not bad food. But the first time I went in there, I made the joke like I always do about make it mooing, and the waitress looked at me and she goes, do you want it black and blue? And like my jaw almost hit the floor. I'm like, wait a minute, you can do that? Really? And I don't think I've ever eaten steak that I prepared myself or that I've ordered since then that hasn't been black and blue, because it's so delicious.
I want to try that.
Oh, so good. You know, obviously, you know, like those warnings tell you, you're taking some chances, but heck with it, man. I sear my food a lot of the times.
That's all you're doing really is searing it when you're eating it blue.
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing. But the funny thing is a lot of these places have rules, you know, because of state regulations or whatever, they have these, you know, rules they have to follow. But I've also seen in the same place, which is crazy, and I can't remember exactly which place I was in, but I've actually seen in the same location where they wouldn't cook your steak any, you know, medium rare was the least cooked they would make it. But they also serve steak tartare, which is really confusing to me.
That would ban that steak black and blue too. That would ban that steak tartare.
Yes.
In North Carolina.
This is true.
That's an entire dish banned.
Yep. Yeah.
And you, wow. Isn't that something?
You probably can't get a black and blue steak there either. So. You know, but you know, like you were saying, they have the warnings in places. Like, why do you need anything more than that? That's what I don't understand. Like, who got the bug up their rear end that decided that this needed to be a law of some kind?
Someone made some money. Who's making money on this one? On this law?
Well, there's a reason why. And I got it. There's apparently in 1993, this is where this law stems from, an incident that happened in 1993, allegedly, when Jack in the Box had an E. coli outbreak serving undercooked meat.
Oh, good old Jack in the Box. Weren't they the same ones who were serving kangaroo meat for a while and everybody got freaked out about? I'm thinking of the right place, right? I think that was back in the 90s. I think that was back in the 90s. They got, quote unquote, caught serving kangaroo meat as their
burger meat.
Yeah.
You guys were alive in the 90s?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I've been around. I think I said it earlier in the show, Daryl. I'm 40 now, man. I've been around for a while. I was alive in the 90s. I think I remember that story about Jack in the Box. But yeah, but look at that. Okay, one incident with one restaurant, and they make a law to affect everybody. Well, that's government for you.
That's government.
One size fits all.
Never let a good catastrophe go to waste. I can't remember the guy who said that.
That's actually a line that's been repeated a lot of times through history. Rahm Emanuel gets credit for it but it's actually something that's been said numerous times by numerous people in numerous countries I think I actually tried to track that one time because I remember so many people were giving him credit for it. Then I was like, wait a minute, I know I've heard this before, and I remember finding it as far back as like, I think I tracked it down somewhere in the 20s, maybe somewhere. So some other person saying it in a speech, some other politician. So yeah, that's been around for a while. But yeah, that's the attitude.
Typical stadium mixed state face.
Exactly. It's the attitude of most of them. Oh, let's see how we can use this to our advantage to just essentially gain more control over people. Because that's all that it really boils down to. You know, it's bad enough that they take, you know, they make certain substances illegal.
Meat temperatures also illegal.
Yeah, it's anything and everything to micromanage your life. And, you know, what that basically says is, you know, and the stadium state faces don't want to hear this. They don't want to admit this. But what that actually is saying is you're too stupid to make your own decisions. So we have to make them for you.
Well, what about the children? You see, it's always going to be someone out there listening right now. That's you right now listening to this. And you're just listening to this and you're saying, well, you know what? We just need that because there's stupid people out there. And then there's someone else out there listening like, you know what? I want to have a rare burger. And this guy is saying that in North Carolina, I can't have a rare burger. And
not
I'm
even,
siding
not
with
even
the second
just a
person.
A rare burger, a medium rare burger.
I want to have a medium rare burger. Yeah. Okay, that's annoying. That's just plain annoying. Because if I'm going out with my lady, she's going to want a medium rare burger. And that's going to be an issue, you know.
That is going to be an issue.
Okay. I mean, obviously, that's where there's the market. And when it comes to burgers, you get to shop around, you know.
I guess you got to go out of state. Poor North Carolina, they got to go out of state to get a decent burger.
Yeah, man. So some kids are crossing state lines to get, you know, back in the day, people used to cross state lines to get to the state that had the lower drinking age. Now people have to cross state lines to get a gosh darn burger. But no, we don't live under tyranny. Not at all. It's just the tyranny insane today. Yeah, I do miss that segment. Nima's back again. They should bring that segment back to the show.
I love the way he intros it. His voice is perfect for Tyranny Today. You know.
Yes, our co-host Nima Vadati, the founding fiend with Michael, who has started to return again, which is awesome because I always enjoyed listening to the shows with Michael and him back in the day. This is tyranny. That's what it is. It's food tyranny. You know, and that whole idea that you're too dumb to make your own decisions, it drives me insane. Because, you know, you're talking about, there's stupid people out there. I've, for a long time, thought that one of my favorite comedians, Bill Engvall, had the perfect solution to this. If you guys have, you know, Bill Engvall, part of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, mm-hmm. His first big act that he did was Here's Your Sign. Where he talked about, you know, you don't need these laws and regulations. You just give signs to stupid people. They hang around their neck. So if you go to ask them a question and then you see the sign, it's just like, oh, never mind. I didn't see your sign. Just don't bother to ask them because, you know, they're dumb. You know, same reason I think that, you know, warning labels on stuff. Just get rid of them. Natural selection, man. They'll weed themselves out.
But snake oil salesman, who would protect the children?
Worms.
You're listening Worms. To Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
So we are back for the final segment. Trying to dig up a little redemption in the third act here. And We have a couple of things, actually. James mentioned one during the break that I had actually heard of earlier today, which is redemption for a lot of us, I guess. Austin Peterson, who tried running for the presidency as a libertarian and lost to the wonderfulness that is Gary Johnson, has finally decided to stop pretending to be a libertarian. And went back, and is now going to be. Is he running? Is he running for president again? Is that what this is about, or is he just shifting?
I believe it's Senate is what he's going for.
So now, after his failed attempt at running at the presidency, now he's going to try to run for Senate. But he's going back to the Republican Party, which is where he belongs, because this man—I hate to even call him that because he's not really a man—who runs a website called the Libertarian Republic, if ever there was an oxymoron. There's one, which is basically a bunch of clickbaity stuff.
It's a clickbait website.
Yeah, he fancies himself some type of libertarian. Tried running for the presidency under the libertarian ticket, and lost. But he's
miserably.
Miserably. But he, he's somebody who. I think he once made the claim that he used to be an anarcho-capitalist, but then he got over it, or something to that effect.
I think he hates anarcho-capitalists.
Now he does, but he swore. I'm pretty sure I could find it. There was a point where he claimed, because I got into a conversation with him online a couple of years ago, and in that conversation, it was brought up again that he claimed that he used to be an anarchist or an anarcho-capitalist, but he basically smartened up, was the way he put it. He's one of those.
That's no way to make money.
Yeah. So he, but he's total, like, his policies, the things that he was talking about. I mean, the best thing about him was, didn't he zing Johnson in the debate?
Yeah, he did.
With the Aleppo thing, was that him? Yeah.
No, with the Nazi cake thing.
Oh, yes, the Nazi cake thing. Yes, he caught Gary Johnson off guard with that. And made him stumble and stutter, which is always fun to watch. So, I give him props for that one. He definitely got him on that. But other than that, it was a complete waste of time. But now he's going back to the GOP where he belongs. He's a putz. And I'm happy he's no longer attaching the name title libertarian to him himself.
So for us folks who subscribe to a form of very pro-choice voluntarism or forms like that, basically what we're saying is, newsflash, Austin Peterson is now part of the GOP, which is similar to newsflash, Adolf Hitler is now part of the Nazi party. It's really very similar.
Yes.
It's like, what we knew already years ago, you're now saying out loud on newsflash.
Yeah. Newsflash. Water is wet.
Water, yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Newsflash. Newsflash, chocolate is snortable. But
wait a minute. What?
That actually is news.
Yes, that actually is. That is news too. That's another story I stumbled across. I think we got a couple minutes left. From the New York Post today. It's the title is "You Can Now Snort Chocolate to Get High."
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, well, doctors are recommending that you shouldn't do so. But there is this product called Choco Loco that is a snortable chocolate powder that mixes. I always pronounce this wrong. Not cocoa. What is it? How do you say the other one?
Cacao.
Thank you. Cacao with stuff that you find in energy drinks like ginkgo biloba and taurine and all that stuff they put in Red Bull and stuff like that. They've mixed these together with chocolate powder, and it came out last month. And it's, as of right now, it's still quote unquote legal. But it's basically getting an energy, getting a high. Instead of drinking an energy drink, you're snorting it up your nose. And well, hey man, I guess you gotta get high somehow, right?
You must have some strong nose things.
Yeah. I don't think I would look at chocolate and think that should be up my nose.
It should
be in my belly.
Yeah,
just like the rare burger.
Yes.
Pretty sure it tastes better than it smells.
Well, chocolate can smell pretty good, but yeah, snorting it would
up
definitely
your nose,
not be.
Though.
Yeah,
come on.
Snorting would definitely not be on my list of things to do.
No, definitely not.
I'd rather, you know, melt it down and roll around in it, and, you know, liquid chocolate than snort it. Any hoodle.
Yep.
Well, it's been a great show, guys. Thanks for joining me tonight.